The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْ يُو هُو بِلِيهِ اِسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now let's listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji.
My dear brothers and sisters in Iman, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. There is no doubt that what happened on the day of Ashura, on that fateful day 61 after the Hijrah, that Abu Abdullah lit a spark. He started a revolution just as his grandfather Rasulullah had started in the city of Mecca. But not only was it a spark that lit a little candle, but actually this was a spark, I believe, that lit the path for all generations to come. You know, when you look at it, and as the preamble for tonight, the darkness that was there at the era of Jahiliyyah, this era of decadence that came pre-Rasulullah, and I'm sure, studied, you've heard about the backwards antics of the Jahili Arabs, the Arabs who were steeped in their ignorance, in their not that they didn't know, they had ways to know, but they intentionally didn't want to know. You study the way that they lived their life, and the levels of corruption and moral depravity that they had gotten to, that Rasulullah comes on the scene, he brings this book, the Quran, he brings these teachings that he is giving to the community, and in 23 short years, you see what kind of a change that Rasulullah brought to the Jahili Arabs, that they were at the lowest of the low, right? Whether it be the burying of their infant daughters alive, as the Quran speaks about, whether it be, you know, their wars over frivolous issues, they would launch military campaigns that would go on for generations to the point where people would not even remember what they were fighting about. In all of that era of darkness, of spiritual darkness, the Quran comes as a nur, as a light from Allah. Rasulullah comes as a light from Allah, the manifest light, teaching this book. And something then happens after the demise of Rasulullah, that 61 AH, so 50 years after the death of the Prophet, 61 years after this migration happens, that now a new light has to be lit. A new torch has to come within the Muslim community to re-enliven the teachings that Rasulullah had brought that had been forgotten amongst those eras. And you know, if you want to trace back where that light of Rasulullah was diminished, you go back not months after the death of the Prophet, not years, not even days after the death of Rasulullah. Literally, you go hours after the death of the Messenger of God, and you turn your attention to a place called Saqifah, this tent covering of Bani Sa'ida. And literally from that moment forward, where Rasulullah's body has not even been buried yet, you know, when we have a funeral in our community or our family member dies, what do? We phone up the Jamaat, we tell them a family member died. Immediately, if we can bury them the same day, we'll give the ghusl, the kafan, we'll bury them, and then we will begin the, you know, commemoration and the majlis and the grief and all of that. But our priority when death happens in our own family or our community is to ensure that our loved ones are buried as soon as possible. When you study Saqifah, and you can study it from an impartial perspective from non-Muslims who have written about it, literally, rather than worrying about the body of Rasulullah, they're worried about the political affairs of the community. And that's why I say that the light of Islam that Rasulullah brought, that 23 years he tried to shine this light of Islam in the Ummah, within moments, hours after his death, they had begun to obliterate the light of Allah. But you know, Allah, as he says in the Quran, that yuridu an yutfi'u nur Allah bi afwahihim, that people will try to obliterate the light of Allah through their mouths, through their actions. But Allah says that He will perfect His light. Walau karihal mushrikun, walau karihal kafirun. Even if the disbelievers hate it, Allah will perfect His light. If the hypocrites hate it, Allah will perfect His light. It took 50 years for that light to be reignited in the hearts of the believers. But it happened, and it will continue to illuminate and guide, and it will push forward until the time of the dhuhr of our Imam and Savior, Imam al-Hujjah, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Some people may say, well, why did it take so long? Amir al-Mu'mineen, after all, got the Khilafat after that 4 years, or after that 20-some-odd years, and he was the Khalifa for 4 years and a few months. Why didn't he reignite the torch of Islam? Why didn't he do something? Some people bring up this accusation. What was he doing? And obviously, it's a lengthy historical narrative that we all have to take time to reflect and read about. But I'll just give you one simple example. We know that he fought four major battles in those 4 years, which were very grueling on him and on the community. But almost immediately after he takes on the caliphate, he begins to try and bring about the Islam of Rasulullah back to the community. Even to the point where, you know, Rasulullah prayed salat, the namaz, for 23 years. The non-Shia hadith narrators quote hadith that when famous companions would pray behind Amir al-Mu'mineen in his time of his caliphate, they were quoted as saying that the last time we prayed a namaz like this was at the time of Rasulullah. So if a prophet was praying for 23 years, five times a day, and after his death the namaz can change to the point where people say, we didn't pray like this since his time, what else was changed in the religion? Right? We know the statement that the second caliph mentioned in the books of the non-Shia, where he says that two mut'as were halal at the time of Rasulullah, and he says, I make them haram, and I will punish whoever performs those. So they themselves acknowledge the fact that the khulafa changed the sunnah of Rasulullah. This is not my words. This is in their hadith books, which you can respectfully open and analyze and see the words of the khulafa. And so Amir al-Mu'mineen takes over the caliphate, and one of the first things he does in Masjid al-Kufa, because that's where his base of governance is he tells his eldest son, Imam Hassan alayhi salam, go to the masjid and tell the people that this innovation, this bid'ah, this forbidden act of the taraweeh prayers, this jamaat prayer in the month of Ramadan, that I'm putting a stop to it. This is one of the innovations, again, which are mentioned in their books, that this was brought upon by the second caliph, that he wanted to join the companions in jamaat prayers, in the mustahab recommended prayers rather, in Ramadan, in congregation. Even though he was told that the Prophet never did this. But he says this is an ahsanul bidah, a beautiful innovation in the religion of Rasulullah, in the religion of Allah. So Amir al-Mu'mineen tells Imam Hassan, go to the masjid, you're my son, you're my representative. Go and tell them we are stopping this recommended prayer in the month of Ramadan. There's no basis to it. The companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen, they're his companions after all, they're in his army. They let out a scream and a protest. They say, Ya Ahl al-Islam, O the people of Islam, the sunnah of Umar is being changed. Not the sunnah of Rasulullah, the sunnah of Umar is being changed. And there's a lengthy khutbah that Amir al-Mu'mineen gave. He listed all of the innovations, or many of them. And he says, if I had the support behind me, I would have brought the people back to the religion of Rasulullah. But he says, if I dare do so, I'll either be standing alone as one individual, or there'll be a few of my Shias, a few of my followers who are willing to support me in this endeavor. And so he realized the challenge was so severe that either he changes it back and he breaks Islam, or he waits and tries to gradually bring about a reformation in society. We know that he was killed on the 19th of Ramadan. He was struck. He was killed 2 days later, succumbed to the injuries. Imam Hassan alayhi salam, he was not in a better situation. As we know, the 10 years he survived after the death of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he didn't have the ability to change the society. It was getting worse and worse at that particular time. And eventually, as we know, Abu Abdullah begins that reformation, begins that movement at the death of Muawiyah when he dies in the month of Rajab. And as we know, that is what set off this whole chain of events and why we are here now, 1400 years after that reformation, that revolution started by Abu Abdullah alayhi salam.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.